The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay, hi. Welcome to Happy Hour. Who's here for the first time at Happy Hour? Show of hands, please. Lovely. Welcome. Wonderful. Great. Delighted you're here. So the bulk of our time together during Happy Hour is a guided meditation that I'll guide you through. No previous experience necessary. Whatever you need will be shared with you. And there will be some time at the end afterwards for after the guided meditation for questions and answers, reflections, etc. And we'll see if we have time for some community practice too today. So, the topic for today's guided meditation, I'd like to say a little about it before I guide you. And I also want to tell you a story. So today's guided meditation is really about recognizing and trusting our own inner wisdom. We all have it. Our own inner goodness, compassion, the source of compassion and wisdom that we all have. And finding ways, finding creative ways, which I will invite you and guide you through, to really recognize that and act out of it, especially in challenging times, in times that it's not so clear and maybe there's some struggle in the mind and heart with a situation. So as a preparatory story, I'd like to read this story. It's called The Messiah is Amongst You. How many are familiar, have heard the story before? Anyone? You may not remember, but here we go. So I'm going to ask you to just relax, let the story wash over you. It's a few paragraphs, and then I'll start the guided meditation. A monastery had fallen on hard times. It was once part of a great order, which as a result of religious persecution, lost all its branches. It was decimated to the extent that there were only 5 monks left in the mother house. The abbot and 4 others, all of whom were over 70. Clearly it was a dying order. Deep in the woods, surrounding the monastery, was a little hut that the rabbi from a nearby town occasionally used for a hermitage or a hermitage. One day, it occurred to the abbot to visit the hermitage to see if the rabbi could offer any advice that might save the monastery. The rabbi welcomed the abbot and commiserated. "I know how it is," he said. "The spirit has gone out of people. Almost no one comes to the synagogue anymore." So the old rabbi and the old abbot wept together and spoke quietly of deep things. The time came when the abbot had to leave. They embraced. "It has been wonderful being with you," said the abbot. "But I have failed in my purpose for coming. Have you no piece of advice that might save the monastery?" "No, I am sorry," the rabbi responded. "I have no advice to give you. The only thing I can tell you is that the Messiah is one of you." When the other monks heard the rabbi's words, they wondered what possible significance they might have. "The Messiah is one of us? One of us? Here? At the monastery? Do you suppose he meant the abbot?" "Of course, it must be the abbot, who has been our leader for so long. On the other hand, he might have meant Brother Thomas, who's undoubtedly a holy man. Certainly, he couldn't have meant Brother Elrod. He's so crotchety. But then, Elrod is very wise. Surely he could not have meant Brother Philip. He's too passive. But then, magically, he's always there when you need him. Of course, he didn't mean me. Yet suppose he did, O Lord, not me. I couldn't mean that much to you, could I? As they contemplated in this manner, the old monks began to treat each other with extraordinary respect. On the off chance that one of them might be the Messiah. You see where this is going. And on the off chance that each monk himself, or each monk themselves, might be the Messiah, they began to treat themselves with extraordinary respect. Because the forest in which the monastery was situated was beautiful, people occasionally came to visit the monastery, to picnic or to wander along the old paths, most of which led to the dilapidated chapel. They sensed the aura of extraordinary respect that surrounded the five old monks, permeating the atmosphere. They began to come more frequently, bringing their friends, and their friends brought friends. Some of the younger men who came to visit began to engage in conversation with the monks. After a while, one asked if he might join, then another and another. Within a few years, the monastery became once again a thriving order. And thanks to the rabbi's gift, a vibrant community of light and love. You see where this is going, right? The Buddha is amongst you, is one of you, is one of us. What if we treated ourselves or others with that sense of dignity, respect, the off chance, and acted out of that? So with that as a backdrop, there's a guided meditation and some visualization I'd like to guide you through. How does that sound? Up for it? Want to try it? Okay. So I'd like to invite you to make yourself comfortable where you're sitting on the chair or the cushion, allowing your back to be straight. It's important to have a sense of integrity. Your back being straight, maybe your shoulders rolled back a little, your chest open. Your feet flat on the floor, not crossed. Your hands on your lap, or maybe touching each other. Just a sense of integrity in your body. And if you need to get more cushions to be more comfortable, it's okay to get up right now, to get more cushions for your feet or your back, so your feet are not dangling. And allowing your eyes to be gently closed if that's comfortable for you. Or have a very soft gaze in front of you. Relaxed. Softening and relaxing your whole body. Starting with your hands. Letting the hands fall and relax. Letting gravity pull them down. As if your hands were blocks of ice melting. Melting the stress, the tightness. Stress melting away. The arms, lower arms, upper arms, relaxed. Letting the tension in them too melt, drip by drip, softening. Moving further up, your neck and shoulders. Opening up, relaxing. And your face, allowing your forehead to soften, letting go of any tension you might be holding, softening, relaxing the jaw, letting your mouth fall open a bit. Relaxing your cheeks, your eyes in your socket. Can you turn on one? Yeah. Softening. Softening, letting go, allowing whatever is arising to be part of the experience in this moment, breathing in, breathing out. It's all okay, it's all good. Whatever might be arising, it's part of this moment's experience, part of life. Not to make a problem out of it. Continuing to soften, relax in your body, the chest, the upper back, the lower back, the abdomen, the sit bones, the upper legs, the lower legs and feet. Landing in your body, landing in this body, embracing, opening up. To being in this body, in this moment, this humanness, this amazing, miraculous experience of humanness in this moment, whatever it might be, this moment in time, that in our human perception of time will never repeat, has never been here. Miraculous. Feeling the sensations of this body. To be human is like this. This body breathing. Landing, opening, finding peace and refuge in the simplicity of this moment. Whatever might be going on in your life, in the world, as if you're in the eye of the storm in this moment, peaceful, quiet, nothing moving, moment of refuge. Inhale. And just breathing, sitting and breathing. The simplicity of this in-breath. The deliciousness of the out-breath, calming, letting go, thoughts, concerns are arising in this moment, just bowing to them simply, thanking them and saying, not now. I will get back to you later. They will still be here. Just turning back ever so gently to the breath. In-breath, out-breath, center stage. Breathing in, breathing out. Spend a few minutes just simply resting, calming the mind, with the simplicity of the breath before we move on, tilling the soil. Calming, soothing, just settling for a few minutes before we move on. In breath and out breath, like a lullaby. Feeling your body, your bottom on the cushion, your hands on your lap, your feet on the floor. Feeling your body breathing. In breath, out breath in the abdomen. Sensations. Embodied. Now, continue to feel your body sitting, breathing, feeling your hands, touch points of your bottom, on the chair, the cushion, your feet. I'd like to invite you to bring to mind an interpersonal situation that's a little challenging for you. Maybe not the 100-pound weight, not the most challenging issue in your life. Something of the lower order. If that's relevant for you, bringing that to mind. Still feeling your body sitting. Visualizing, imagining yourself sitting with the person you're having this conflict with. And having a dialogue or an interaction, bringing to mind what it is that you are entangled with this other being, with this other person. Staying embodied, continuing to feel your breath. And feeling in your body the contraction that may arise being in this situation, still breathing with it, making space for it, not turning away. Ever so gently opening to it, facing it. Breathing with it, breathing around it. Seeing the person saying their part, maybe what they need from you, what they want from you. And feeling what comes up for you. And now I'd like to invite you to imagine that there is a doorbell. There's a ring, there's a knock on the door. Wherever you are, sitting, imagining, having this conversation. And you say to this person you're having this conflict with, this interaction, say, excuse me one moment. And you get up, you go to the door, you open the door. And at the door is the embodiment of wisdom and compassion. Whoever that might be for you. Maybe it's the Buddha. Maybe it's the Dalai Lama. Mother Mary, Jesus, whoever it might be, maybe one of the authors that you've read about, or a teacher whose wisdom and compassion you respect and is inspiring to you. Or maybe it's the being of light, the being of light that's completely compassionate and loving and wise. And they are at the door. Whoever it is, they greet you. You greet them. And you ask them, as they enter into the alcove and you're standing with them, you ask them for support, for help in this conflict you're having. And what they offer to you as help and support is that they're going to show you what to do. And they will borrow your body so entering your body, this being of light, this compassionate and wise person is now looking out through your eyes, moving your hands, speaking for you. And you're going along for the ride, noticing their thoughts, their feelings, their immense wisdom and compassion that's emanating from your body. The two of you having merged, feeling that as your eyes are closed, feeling the merging. As you're going along for the ride, and now you walk back to the room, sit back in a chair or the floor with the person you've been having this conflict and conversation. And they're sharing their demands, their part. And as you breathe in and out, witnessing, feeling, it's compassionate, wise being, speaking through your mouth, feeling what they feel, how they see the situation. Let yourself see and feel the situation from their perspective. They have compassion both for you and for the person you're in conflict with. And listen to how they feel and how they respond. Feeling your body as you breathe and as you sit. Bottom on the cushion, your hands on your lap, feet on the floor, embodied. breathing, listening, witnessing. And then noticing how the person you're in conflict with, how the situation might change as they feel and receive this wisdom and compassion. And the words, the actions might be fierce compassion, might still be no, but it might come, it will come from a place of care, not hatred or ill will. See what that feels like. An action, words coming from a place of care for yourself and the other person. And now, pausing, telling the person you've been having this conversation, this conflict with, saying, excuse me for a moment. Getting up, going back to the alcove. And the compassionate image, compassionate person. Stepping out, giving back your body. They step out. They smile at you. Maybe they give you a hug. And they give you a little piece of paper that has a piece of advice. It has a message for you. It's rolled up. They give it to you. You take the paper, you unroll it, open it up. You read the words and you immediately understand. What does the advice say? What does the message say to you? They also reach into their pocket and they have a gift for you. It's in a little box. And they give it to you now and you open the box. What's in the box? Something that reminds you of your own compassion and wisdom. And there's an inscription on the side of this object. As you turn it over, you can read the inscription. It's a word. You read it, you understand immediately the implication it has for you. Awakening your own, empowering your own wisdom and compassion. So you hold the object in your hand, feeling the temperature, the roughness, the smoothness, the weight of it. Reminding you of your own inner goodness. The compassionate being now bows. You bow back, both of you meeting. And they leave. You return. With your gifts. With you. Coming back to the person you've had the interaction with, the conflict with, just sit together in silence for a moment. Just sitting and breathing. Wishing yourself well, wishing them well. Allowing your heart to have empathy both for yourself and for them. For their perspective. They are not so different from you. You are not so different from them. Breathing, wishing well, and feeling them wishing well for you. The circle of goodwill, of friendliness, kindness. As little or as much as it's palpable. Trusting in your own inner goodness and in their inner goodness. We all have it. It might be clouded or shrouded at times, but we all have it. Imagining the two of you bowing to each other, maybe with a smile, and feeling yourself back in the room here, in your body, your eyes closed, sitting, breathing. Feeling the gifts that you were given. As a reminder of your own inner goodness, your own inner wisdom and compassion. The inscription, the gift with the inscription, and the piece of paper with the message. So we do have a little bit of time today for some community practice. And you don't have to participate if you don't want to. It's an invitation. It helps to, it's a way of taking the practice into the world. So I'll describe it in a moment what we will do. And again, you can participate or stay with your eyes closed, silently meditating, practicing during this. We'll have some open QA afterwards. So the invitation is to practice friendliness, kindness, and community. So in a moment, I'll ask you to look for two other people who you didn't come here with, you don't know. And the prompt is simple. The prompt is, how was this guided meditation for you? And it could be anything. Could be, I fell asleep, my mind was distracted, I loved it, I didn't like it. It doesn't matter so much what you say. It's a prompt. But how you say it, how you relate to others is really the point of the practice. So I describe what that is. So relational loving kindness. So as you're listening, you'll be listening twice. When you're listening, stay embodied. Feel your body as you're listening. As you're listening to me right now, can you feel your hands? Can you feel your feet? Can you feel your bottom? Can you hear at the same time and still be embodied? It's not very difficult. Yes, you can do that? Yes, okay. Keeping your eyes open, just listening and feeling embodied. Now listening with a sense of kindness, a sense of ease. Can you give your full attention? Not be thinking about what you're going to say, what just happened for you, etc., what's going to happen in a moment, just being right here, right now, giving your full attention, embodied, giving your full attention. It's the biggest gift we can give each other, just listening as human beings. So rarely do we do that in real life. So this is a practice. It's really a practice, listening, not thinking about what you're going to say, how you're going to impress people. That's not the point. Just listening with kindness, as if they can say nothing wrong. This human being is just like you. They're doing their best. So that's the listening practice. As you're speaking from your heart, as much or as little you want to share, doesn't matter. Staying embodied, feeling your body if you can, it's a little more difficult. And knowing that you're speaking for your own benefit, you're not speaking to impress or educate, you're really speaking for yourself so that what you're saying could be held witness by two other human beings that are holding it with care, with kindness. What does that feel like to not be interrupted? Nobody interrupting. You have a monologue. You have a minute or two just to speak. Nobody's going to say, oh, tell me more, nothing. Just, they're holding witness. What is that like to be received in that way with acceptance? So that's really the exercise. The prompt is just the prompt. Okay? Any questions? And again, it's an invitation. If you're feeling a little on the edge, should I not? I invite you to try it and see how it goes. I do this so many times, and at the end I ask, raise your hand if you had trepidation and you're glad that you did it. Hands go up. Yes. So just try it out. What do you have to lose? And again, it's an invitation. You don't have to engage. You can just be silent and practice. So please find another two people whom you didn't come here with. You don't know. Raise your hand if you need a partner. Go. Turn your chairs. Make a triad. Go for it. Raise your hand if you need a partner. Raise your hand if you need a partner. Okay, group of three. Yes, group of four. Go for it. Just say your name to each other and you self-time. Each person has about a minute or two. We have a limited time. Go for it. And turn your chair, by the way, so that, yeah, it's kind of respectful of the group. Yes, great. Thank you. Yeah. The prompt is, how was it? And stay embodied. This is a practice. Stay embodied. Stay in your body. Listen with kindness. Okay, so first I have a question for you. Raise your hand if you had some trepidation about doing this beforehand. Okay, great, few people. Raise your hand if you're glad you did it. Raise your hand if you're not glad you did it. No, honestly, I want to know. Okay, that's cool, great. So, what are your reflections? What are questions, comments, either about the first part of the practice, the guided meditation, or about the relational practice? What came up for you? What happened? What did you learn? What did you notice? Yeah.
For me, this Wednesday in the afternoon is a little bit like I'm falling asleep, and today I mostly fell was asleep. Before I was telling the persons of the group that before it was like when I fell asleep, I was like judging myself.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't. It's not good.
And your hand gesture is kind of self-flagellating. Yeah, that's what I'm seeing you're doing. Yes, like, yes, yeah. Exactly.
I do a lot.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Practice. Well, yeah.
No, I don't want to do that anymore.
That's right.
So uh-huh. Today I was surprised that I was like, I wasn't judgmental. And,
nice.
And in fact, I was like, oh, it was nice.
Nice, yeah.
However,
yeah.
Now I have, now that I'm thinking, now I'm rationalizing.
Yeah.
Is it too? There's right intention also, no?
Yes.
Not only right intention, but also right effort.
Yes.
And am I now going to the other side?
Of not
putting focus on what I came here to do.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great question. I'm so glad you brought it up. Yeah. So, anybody else felt sleepy? Please, yes, of course. It's that time of the day, it's my voice, you know, everything adds up. So I am so delighted to hear that you're not self-judgmental about falling asleep anymore. That's huge progress, because this hour, really happy hour, is about cultivating kindness and compassion. And however you do that, if it's like, oh yeah, you fell asleep, dear, gosh, you must have sleep debt, instead of, darn it, you fell asleep, you loser, you can't do anything right, you know, so great, fantastic, that is progress, to have kindness, fantastic. And now what you're bringing up is, oh, but am I being too, whatever, too easy on myself, and the going to the, not having the wise intention. So this is what I would say. So, you know, after the fact, and you fell asleep, maybe there's nothing you could do about it. You were out, right? What can you do about that, right? So if it comes up in the moment, right? If it comes up in the moment, like, oh, I am so sleepy. Like, oh, it's okay. I'll just, you know, have a nice nap here. IMC is comfortable. The seats are good. Or like, oh, I'm very sleepy. Okay, how about I open my eyes, how about I stand up and do standing meditation? So if you have a moment of choice, that's where the intention comes in, not after the fact, right? If you fell asleep, you fell asleep. And if you didn't have that moment of choice. So that's where the wisdom can come. Can you see the difference? And also another thing I would add is like tuning a bow. at some point it will be too tight, at some point it will be too loose, and you have to go through that range. You have to, in order to find what's right. So accept the getting too tight, getting too soft as this path of figuring out what's the right wise effort. You will not just end there precisely, but it's going to be a learning process, and you're doing that. Great. Thank you. What else? Questions, comments? Please.
So I shared with my partners that during the meditation,
yeah,
at the moment that we're supposed to imagine another person mm-hmm. with us, mm-hmm. I couldn't focus on like one person. Mm-hmm. I focused on two. And I was kind of fighting it just to, okay, I'm going to choose this one.
Uh-huh,
but
uh-huh.
then this other person wouldn't go away.
Yeah.
So I was being judgmental. I was like, aww. And even told them, like, right. I don't know, I thought it was weird. Huh. But one of my partners shared with me, I imagine my two daughters. So yeah. She made me feel like, oh, it was okay.
Right? It was okay. Yeah.
So, made me realize that whatever we feel during meditation, it's okay.
Yes.
It's okay. Yes. Whatever comes up.
Yes.
Maybe it comes up for a reason.
Yes.
And not only because it happened to her.
Yeah.
I feel comfortable, not only because, that was one reason, but not only because of that, but because it might be a reason why.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right, so. To honor. I really appreciate you bringing that in and also learning that for yourself. Really, it's a learning. Since it happened for you today, you now you're going to remember it and honor from now on. You know, the instructions are one thing, but something else needs to come up for you. And you know, I usually actually say at the beginning that I will give a guided instruction, and what may come up for you might be different from what the guidance is, to honor and respect and have kindness towards whatever is coming up. I usually say that, you know, I change things around. Today I didn't say it, so now you've got to experience that for yourself, that now you're not going to forget it, right? Because there's this fighting of being upset, but of course honoring, there is a reason why it showed up, because it needs to happen that way. So yeah, guided meditations are invitations to try something out, and whatever comes up, you just open up to it with kindness. Great. Thank you. What else? Any questions, comments, complaints? What worked, what didn't?
I just want to thank you for guiding us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anything else you'd like to say about your experience? If you would be...
Well, I would like to know, I mean, eventually the goal will be to do it on your own without guidance, right?
Yeah.
Any literature or maybe some other source of information you can suggest so we... can try it on our own and eventually venture into, you know, open waters.
right, yeah. So, So I've learned this. So what I offered today is an amalgamation. I read the story at the beginning and then offered this. This improvised visualization is something I learned from one of my mentors and teachers, Jack Kornfield. So he has different ways of doing different visualizations and meditations. And so this is a visualization in a difficult circumstance to really tap into our own wisdom, our own inner goodness. And from I was doing this practice with you as I was leading you, and I thought about a challenging situation and then when my inner, the compassionate image was interacting with the person that was having difficulty with. Wow, they got to see this person, the whole situation from a 360 point of view. And guess what? That is me, right? Because I'm imagining this. So that capacity is in me, is in you, is in every single one of us. If this exercise worked for you, even a little bit, like shifted seeing the situation, like all we've done is a thought experiment of imagine this compassionate being inside you. Guess what? This is still your own mind imagining it. Nobody else told you what to see and how to change it. Like you did it all. It's all already here, but it allows you to tap into it. So I would say if this spoke to you, listening maybe again and trying it on for size in different circumstances. I don't know if there are other resources. I learned this from Jack and privately, so I don't know whether he has other recordings or writings or where else to find it. Sorry. But it's in you. There's not, that's what I want to say. It's in you. You already have it. And this is like, oh yeah, this is a way to kind of trick myself to get in. Get to it. A show of hands, I'm curious, as you did this guided meditation, how many of you saw the situation slightly differently? Any shift in perspective that came up for you at all? Yeah. Interesting. Okay, it's over time, so thank you so much for coming to Happy Hour and practicing together. Yeah, let's dedicate the merit of our practice, our guided meditation, our sitting together, our interacting with each other with the intention of cultivating compassion, wisdom, and kindness. May all beings be happy. May all beings be free, including ourselves. Thank you, and come again.